Welcome to the Rampant Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Essen, and I'm joined by my regular discoursers, Travis Hudson and Andrew Riley. We're children born of the 80s, and as a result, we have, to varying degrees, a soft spot in our hearts for Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and the sequel, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. For those who don't know, it's a story of Bill S. Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan, the duo that formed the band Wild Stallions, and their misadventures through time and space. Well, after nearly 30 years, they've actually released a third movie, Bill and Ted Faced Music. And by the time you're listening to this, it's probably already been released. It has a release date of August 28th. Well, to prepare ourselves for watching this movie, we decided to watch the original, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and record ourselves and our reactions and our commentary while watching the movie. We thought it could be some interesting viewing to our listeners, and so we invite you to watch the movie with us. At the beginning, we will synchronize starting the movie on the roar of the MGM lion, and if you're so inclined, you can watch the movie with us and feel like we're there watching it with you. One piece of note-keeping before we go on, there is some talk early on about how the movie is a PG-13 movie, and you did some fact-checking afterwards, and it turns out that it's actually a PG movie, not PG-13. So we apologize for that little bit of mix-up, but hopefully it doesn't detract from your listening too badly. I hope you enjoy it. Here we go. Party on, dudes. All right, are we ready to start the movie? Let's start it on the count of three. One, two, three.
Yay, pretty cat.
I think that's the second movie we watched with the lion roaring at the beginning.
Yeah, this is the peeking behind the curtain a little. This is not the first time we tried syncing a movie together, and a lot of them have been MGM for whatever reason.
Is Orion a company anymore? Movie company?
Because that's also... they terminated, but then they like came back for... Like, the name got re-released and re-trademarked for something. What is this music?
In time?
What is this music?
I don't know. I honestly can't
hear
it yet.
Credits to Bill and Ted?
Oh, the do. I don't know. Should we know? Is this notable music?
No, it seems... strange.
Well, it's a strange movie.
It's the 80s.
I'm pretty sure I've seen this before. I have definitely seen some Bill and Ted stuff, and I think I've seen this movie, but I don't remember anything about it. So this is going to be interesting to see how this goes for me.
That's interesting. Didn't mean to talk over you. I did not realize Keanu actually did get top billing over Alex Winter. Even back then.
Alphabetically by last name.
Okay, I was checking you on the rest of the credits. I don't think that's right.
No. just between those two. Although, actually, before we start, I watched the trailer, and they're like, starring Keanu Reeves, Alex Winter, Napoleon, Billy the Kid, and like they go through all of them, all the historical characters, and at the very end, George Carlin. So,
well, he was the biggest star probably in the movie.
Yeah, it's just funny how they did that.
Was it movie voiceover guy for the trailer too? Like,
yeah, school? Pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, when I was trying to remember when the movie came out, I was like, my only point of reference is I know my mom wouldn't let me see it because it was PG-13 and I wasn't 13, but I thought I was like 12, but apparently I was 8.
So that's a good question. I think I know where Travis stands on this, but I was asking Gerky if this would be...
2688? Holy crap.
It's a little in the future.
That's how long it took the air to get clean. All right. What was going to be your point?
I was going to ask, like, would this be an appropriate movie to show my kids? To try and like have them watch this, then Bogus Journey, then the new movie?
I was exactly asking... Faith that too. There'd be jokes that go over their head.
Clearly.
But other than that, like, the most violence is Genghis Khan cutting off a mannequin head. Spoiler, I guess.
and there's no, like, and, swearing, really.
Yeah, I couldn't think of a single swear word, actually.
So what does he have the PG-13 rating for?
I don't honestly know.
Well, when we see it, we'll comment on it. It's like, this is why I got the PG-13 rating.
I mean, he's going for it in your own room? I don't know, but like, we'll get to that.
69 dudes?
See, that's the joke that I did not understand when the movie first came out.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't think I understood it for a couple of years after seeing the movie, too. But that was in the trailer, wasn't it? You just watched the trailer, Paul. Wasn't that in the trailer?
It
69,
was.
Dudes! Yep. Like, that's a pretty ballsy thing to put in a trailer in 1989.
I see what you did there.
Well, I was thinking about other things from the 80s earlier today, and I've sort of had Come On Eileen in the back of my head for a little while. Not as like a true earworm, but so the idea of that song and a possible double meaning, like right there, very obviously in the lyrics, as we're going to hum this song forever and have it played a million times on the radio, and it's all about coming on Eileen.
Well, Quiet Riot's song actually is spelled that way. Come On, Feel the Noise is actually spelled the double entendre way. But you don't know it until you actually see, like, the album cover, I think.
And obviously, Come On Eileen is a song about sex, so there's a lot of different ways it could go without even be going that way. But, you know, people don't care if it's got a catchy beat, apparently.
This is the ultimate chicken or the egg argument.
I know, it's the best circular argument ever. Which is why we need to try them from video. It's cool, dude. That's kind of a funny notion to think that they were actually doing all that before high school. Like, before they had to go to school for high school. Like,
yeah.
How many high schoolers have that much
motivation?
Not to think too much into it. Yeah, how many high schoolers are getting up before school to practice for band? But
the ones that are going to become rock stars when they grow up, obviously.
Clearly not enough. Short, dead dude. I figured at least for Paul and me, we were putting a moratorium on quoting this movie. Because otherwise we're...
I'm trying
we're
very
be
hard.
Quoting half the movie.
I'm still not following the quotes, so yeah.
Joan of Arc. Noah's wife. This is kind of a scary high school class, too. I did not have a high school class where I had to get up in front of the entire school and deliver my final history report.
I had a number of things where I had to present in the high school, so it's not hugely uncommon, I'd say.
So I'm trying to read the blackboard in the background to see if, like, all the people they meet are on there. But they say
Cleopatra, Socrates of the Socratic Method, Julius Caesar, Genghis Khan, Henry VIII, and Joan of Arc are what's on the board.
So I think they meet all those besides Cleopatra. Maybe not Julius Caesar.
No Cleopatra? I'm disappointed.
Yeah, I don't remember Cleopatra. It's a salad dressing dude.
Are you just assuming that Cleopatra's hot? Is that why?
Well, factually and historically, yes.
Abraham Lincoln, Custer? What? Billy the Kid, Napoleon, Sigmund Freud, yeah, Joan of Arc. Yeah, so most of those are people who they're gonna foreshadowing.
Yeah, he does have Socratic Method written down, not Socrates.
No, it says Socrates.
Right? Socrates, oh, okay. And then it was in parentheses.
Why he did that? Who knows?
Because he's the only one of those people known for something like that.
That is a well. I guess I never really see high schools from the outside that far away in an aerial shot. That looks like a huge high school.
We went to a small high school.
Yeah,
I went to a smaller high school.
Right, this is usually the opposite of how these directions, these arguments go. We're going smaller instead of bigger. Most heinously.
So,
to when be do you clear, can virtually slap me anytime I start quoting the movie? To be clear, what?
They're not like drunk or stoned, right? They're just idiots.
They're Beavis and Butthead, yeah.
Okay.
Beavis and Butthead. Yeah, is we're his never father drunk a cop? Or high.
Yeah, you clearly haven't seen this.
Ted's dad, yeah. Well, that's more prevalent. No. No, no, that is prevalent.
It's a big
here.
Deal
yeah,
in
it
this
is,
one.
Yeah, yeah, it's in this one too. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Well, obviously, his father being a cop doesn't mean he's not stoned on weed, but it would mean it'd be harder, maybe.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't. There's never any intimation to me that they're smoking or
yeah,
drinking.
Yeah, I just realized that there's like yeah, no real references to any kind of drugs or alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. As much as they make jokes like 69 and stuff like and Iron Maiden and stuff like that, there's not even a 420 joke or anything. Well, now I'll pay attention in case that went over my head when I watched this
yeah.
movie before.
The clocks are all set to 420.
So, aren't they like seniors in high school though? What?
Presumably.
It would be military. That's just joining the military then. It's not military school. It's just signing up for the military.
It's ROTC.
So I hate to be all like cause and effect and temporal paradox here, but yeah. This future never would have happened without them going back in time in the first place to make it happen.
Do you want to spoil the end of Bogus Journey? Like, they go into the future in order to learn how to play so they can come back to win Battle of the Bands so that they become important historical figures. Like, it's not supposed to make sense.
First off, let's take this one a step back. You guys obviously know the plot of this movie very well. And the second one. I, yes. At the very least, remember none of it, even if I have seen it. I'm pretty sure I've seen
at least
one of these
movies. Remember none of it.
I don't think that's the way you use that phrase.
I remember none of it. But
okay.
Even if I remembered some of it, is there something that is precursor to this movie that is supposed to be getting me ready for the fact that all these things... Like, I like movies that drop me in without explanations, so I'm having a good time right now. But this is not what people going to movies in America want. They don't want to say, I don't know what's going on. It's yeah, 20 minutes into the movie. Well, it's 11 minutes into the movie, but
the first
it's 11 minutes into the movie, and I don't know what's happening.
The first time you see the movie, you have no idea what George Carlin just did. Well, no, but I mean, he does introduce himself in the beginning. He does say it's the year 2688. And I think I was talking over whatever he's saying. I think he does do some sort of introduction to say, like, I gotta go help these two idiots or something. Because otherwise our future doesn't exist. It's something like that. It's more set up than you get in Terminator. Welcome to the Hall of Presence. Eh, here's your PG-13 moment, Andrew.
Yeah, I was.
It's like so tame.
And apparently,
it's your mom,
it's,
dude.
It's your mom. Like remarried, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think
it's like their babysitter or something, right?
No, that's his. That's his stepmom.
No, but has, she was or something. Or no, they.
Oh.
She was a senior when they were freshmen or something, right?
Something like that, yeah.
All right, so she's 3, maybe 4 years older than them?
Yeah, that's kind
not
of
that
a
unreasonable joke.
Unless
she's
oh,
an
yeah,
idiot.
Because here
unless
goes.
They're
she,
an idiot,
she,
which
she
they
had
are.
Their, yeah,
so.
She had their teacher.
They could be
yeah.
the same age.
That has. Tell him I said hi. That has
yeah.
insinuations there, possibly, too. Yeah. It's weird what quotes stick in my mind from this movie, too. But, like...
So, Ted asked his stepmom to the prom?
Go for it in your own room. No, well, he's. I think Ted's about to ask for that about again. Oh.
Am I ahead of you guys?
Oh, yeah. Remember when I asked her to prom? Shut up, Ted!
All right, I'm ahead of Travis, at least. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, what... What, Doesn't Terminator come down in a Quickie Mart?
You're thinking of Simpsons. This is a Circle K.
Well,
no, but I mean, like...
Well, right, but like...
Shop Smart. Shop S-Mart. It's a storm in the middle of the street. I don't think there's a store too close. He meets some guys on the street, but there's so it's kind of close
to the
store.
It's a biker bar or something in Terminator.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. I remember Terminator 2 far more than Terminators.
Those are some good special effects.
The clouds honestly look like they stole the effects from Ghostbusters. What does Esquire at the end of your name mean?
Nothing.
Nothing. I almost said it. So.
Yep, I was waiting for it. Perhaps the most confusing thing is how do all those people fit in that one phone booth?
Don't think. It's like a, well, no, it's like a TARDIS, right?
Bigger on the inside.
That's what she, I mean, no.
I hate it. Now, I'm sure it's been pondered on the internet before, so we're not the first ones to ponder it. Was "woe" already going to be said in The Matrix before they hired Neo? Before they hired Keanu?
Probably.
Because supposedly one of the actors that was in the running for Neo was Will Smith.
Huh.
And I can't imagine him saying, "Whoa."
Certainly not the same way. He'd deliver the line, but deliver it differently.
Yeah.
He'd be like, "What the?" or something. He wouldn't be a "whoa," probably.
It'd be some sort of a snappy joke. "Welcome to Earth." So that's how he'd say it.
"Welcome to the Matrix, bitch."
Now that's what I call artificial intelligence.
Bodacious. I'd forgotten that word.
What came first, Michelangelo or Bill and Ted?
Why would we lie to ourselves? So, Keanu's nod there is hysterical.
Anyways, I don't think you actually answered my question. Is this the first thing that is Bill and Ted in existence? Or was there a comic or a TV show that existed before?
I think this is it. I mean, the trailer came out.
They made a comic book afterwards, and there might have been a short-lived cartoon, maybe, even?
There was definitely a cartoon. I remember the cartoon, but yeah. I think it came after.
But there was, because there's definitely a comic by the same guy, Evan Dorkin, that did Milk and Cheese. And I read the novel for Bogus Journey and the comic, and it's a case of there are a lot of scenes and storylines that were in the original script that got into the novel and the comic that did not make it into the screen. Which was a new concept to me. So I was like, why aren't these things in the movie?
What is that tie?
You must be ahead of us. What tie?
Well, George Carlin has got a thing on his neck.
Oh.
And it's like a tie, but it looks like he's been struck by an arrow, and it's holding his shirt together.
It's true. Like a cufflink for your collar.
Yeah, it's true. It looks almost like half a bow tie or something.
It's fashion forward.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's what they wear in 2688.
I mean, frankly, why would we be wearing a tie now? Like, it's just a useless flap of fabric.
Wait, they get Napoleon first? Wow, yeah, why not? I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all.
Well, they have to leave him with his brother.
What?
Well, okay.
And oh, yeah,
that's, we won't spoil it for Andrew.
Yeah, 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 okay. Yeah, they don't, okay. Blow them up.
Well, it's funny that they just, he like takes them there to watch for about 10 seconds, and then they're going to leave without anybody.
Yeah, right? So like, that's the plan. Me. Why does he even go here?
I guess it'd be like, here, look, history happened. Do they ever take those guys back to where they came from?
The historical figures?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do. Otherwise, that would really screw up history.
Yeah.
So that's also kind of a, I don't want to say unique thing, because other stories have done, yeah, that the clock keeps running in their home time.
Yeah.
But I imagine more people were used to the notion of, like, oh, Back to the Future, where you just dial in what time you want to go to and you go to it.
Yeah. It doesn't quite make sense why they can't just go back to, like, yesterday. If they have a time machine.
Are you...
Maybe you can't stay in that trying time
to
forever.
Are you trying to purposely avoid spoiling later on, Paul? Pretty sure they do exactly that.
Well, sure, but like...
They do go back to yesterday to do stuff.
Right, but like, why can't they just like continue living life then, you know?
Maybe it causes unstable vibrations in the time continuum.
Yeah, haven't you seen Time Cop? If they touch themselves... Then...
Yeah, that's a different movie. Time
they said hello in 69. Who's this?
That's Napoleon.
Napoleon! No,
who's the kid?
Oh, Andrew's ahead of us, yeah. It's Ted's little brother.
Ted has a little brother?
Deacon. That's his name, yeah. Wow, he has a Fistagon poster in the background. Right on.
I don't even know what that means.
Right on the poster behind Ted says,
no,
right,
yeah,
on.
I see it, but I don't, what does that poster mean?
That's like the nowadays it's in black on Black Lives Matter's posters, but like that, it's,
what's it mean when it's in red?
It's right on
that, poster? Oh. That's actually Rage Against the Machine's fist is in red, so I think it's just changed colors over the years. Why does he have a Van Halen blacklight poster over his bed? Did you see that from Napoleon's position, the poster on the ceiling?
These are realistic looking rooms, honestly, like cluttered and posters all over the place.
And yeah, like these shelves in the living room are like just random encyclopedias and knickknacks.
Yeah, this looks a little less realistic.
No, like,
that's not the point you were making.
I don't know. It looks semi-realistic to me.
It looks too structured to me. Of course, we have a completely messy house, so maybe that speaks more to.
You have younger kids. I think the age of the kids matters. Having older kids, they can theoretically clean up after themselves more, or be punished or threatened with military camp if they don't clean up.
So this is also interesting, too. The phone booth works as a phone.
But it's not... It's not... What's it connected to? It's not a landline.
Yeah, like...
It's a magic cell phone phone booth.
I guess we shouldn't question 2688 technology, because it will appear as magic to us, right?
Yes.
I don't know. It didn't. Granted, I wasn't paying attention to Dad, but
I think the plane lizard
cares if he passes or fails anymore.
So, obviously, phone booth is pretty cool for a lot of reasons, but it's also a very dated relic for a lot of reasons.
Yeah,
it's just an interesting thing to be looking back on. 30 years later,
I suspect it was probably not dated at the time the movie came out, but like intended to be not a. It, kind of anachronistic, I guess.
It's I think it's closer to a, alignment with the TARDIS. I mean, we mentioned the TARDIS earlier, and it's definitely playing on that riff.
Andrew, having realized he hasn't seen this movie, has decided to go full Doctor Who.
Doctor Who?
So, okay, so this makes more sense, because I remembered them going to Billy the Kid first. Oh, which, to some of our email correspondents... If you go to the Wikipedia page for people killed by the police, Billy the Kid is on the list. Which makes sense, but like it's not the type of person you expect to see on the list at first. Just like Frontierland.
At Disney World?
But you can get shot here. Ugh.
No one pays him a second look.
I wonder if the horse crap was supposed to be there, or if that was dubbed in because he had to walk around it.
Probably supposed to be there. They probably didn't actually bring in horses to crap on the street.
Well, it depends on if they were, like, sharing the lot or something with some other...
Yeah.
Something else. Beer. Didn't they ask for water or something?
No, he's had two beers,
please. They desperate, yeah. We'll have to remember this place. I thought, like, you weren't supposed to call him Billy the Kid or something.
Smoking. That's forbidden. You can't have that in movies anymore. That'll get you an R rating now.
But back then...
Oh, you're already... Yeah, you must already be at the poker table then.
I guess technically underage drinking.
I was just about to say, technically underage drinking.
Oh, hey, we were talking drug or alcohol references.
There you go.
And he's smoking something.
Flip all the tables. They just sit there.
It's kind of incredible. Everyone's fighting, but no one's going after them.
Because no one cares.
I mean, they were the ones that were his partners in crime.
I was going to say, you'd think they'd think that they were in on the cheat. Now here comes two guys.
All right, so we have,
bam,
smoking, alcohol, potential drug references, and sexual themes. That's probably enough to get you the PG-13. Yeah.
Oh, you think they were prostitutes?
Even if they're not prostitutes, there's
okay. I thought
some subtle winking reference. And some not so subtle winking going on there. Plus, we had the situation with Mom a few scenes back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I probably blinked and I missed it. Doesn't Doesn't Ted stick his head back in the hole in the
wall?
Yes,
he did.
Right there? Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. The Golden Age?
So what is Frodo doing there? Not Frodo.
Frodo.
Samwise. Frodo. Samwise was there. Why is Samwise there?
Really?
I don't think that's him.
It's not. It's it, just the actor looks a lot it, like it, him.
It, it might be. Yeah, you're, he the does guy look right a little there like
Sean Astin. Yeah.
Yeah. It's too tall.
Yeah.
Too
tall. Way too tall.
you know that was movie magic.
His feet don't look nearly hairy enough.
Where'd they get a football from? They just had a football with them?
Billy the Kid had one.
They made a stop off at Toys R Us on the way to Ancient Greece.
They stopped to get O.J. Simpson.
It's under so crazy. Knowing that you know nothing. I think it was on the philosophy podcast I listened to that obviously talked about Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, and then switched over to Eastern philosophies and was like, kind of how amazingly same they are at their base notion about knowing that you know nothing and specks of dust in the wind and things like that.
Well, you come down to it, and logic's the same for everybody. That's the point of logic.
Now, that would be nice.
Oh, we don't want to probably start that up.
Let's, yeah, all three of us take a drink.
In order to avoid the conversation.
Dust. Dude.
Is that like some sort of music quote? All we are is dust in the wind?
Yes.
I assume it must have been.
Yeah.
For Bill and Ted to have come up with something halfway poetic. Is it Joan of Arc?
Yeah, it needs to tell us the time.
Or no, this is just where they meet the princesses.
Yeah, right? Let's see, this is Henry. Probably they probably came here in theory for Henry the VIII, right?
Oh, was it? I didn't even realize it was.
I'm pretty sure that's who puts them in the dungeon.
This one's gonna hurt a little bit.
Billy the Kid's pulling the football out to throw a Socrates.
Gnarly old goat dude. How convenient that there's two of them.
Well, and not like the actresses, I believe, have done very much of anything else. So it shouldn't be that amazing, I guess. But it's kind of amazing that they could get them back, too, for Face the Music.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the biggest deal is...
No one has died, right?
Well, George Carlin.
George Carlin, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't have him back, so that's the thing. But none of the other actors have died.
I'm actually a little surprised William Sadler hasn't died. The guy who plays Death.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how old he is, but he's always seemed old to me.
Heavy metal. I think also the first time I had seen his movie, or at least the trailers, I didn't know who Iron Maiden was.
So I think that probably shows the significance of Star Wars. I'm probably still ahead of you guys, but Star Wars references in a movie that is, you know, maybe 10, at most 15 years later, and it's very clearly a major impact on the culture already.
Yeah, it would be, what, 12 years later? Because Star Wars was 77, yeah. This was 89, so yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, how many movies had, like, Matrix references, like Bullet Time and...
Well, Bullet Time, yes, like, but that. Actual reference to The Matrix, or a plot point from The Matrix?
Yeah, because he literally says Luke, and he spoils Empire by saying, I am your father.
So it's not even 77, that's like 79 by that point.
But I also feel like, partially thanks to Family Guy, I think, we're much more hyper-referential now. So it doesn't surprise me when something gets referenced, like, the next year in a movie.
It's also, this is a comedy, you wouldn't do that in a movie where you played it straight.
But I think it is sort of like, I mean, how often did movies acknowledge that other movies existed? Unless it was like kind of the whole point of said movie, like trying to think of something like
Last Action Hero.
Yeah, or I'm trying to think of like...
Well, that was, the movies were the movies of the movie, not the real movies. There were still separate movies, I think.
Okay. Right, like I'm just like, I wonder how rare it was for other movies to acknowledge that like Star Wars was a movie in the real world type of thing. I'm sure it happened more than I remember. But... Most non-triumphant.
How did he get out of
the suit
of armor?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I still don't know how Ted got out of the suit of armor.
He literally got out of there in like 5 seconds.
And then, like, why does this random footman just come back into the kitchen?
Medieval dickweed, huh?
I guess that might.
That I mean, might he's very require angry.
not an explanation to an 8-year-old, but might.
He thinks he just lost his best friend.
I'm marginally PG-13-ish.
Yeah, that's what I was gathering. Andrew was saying, I was like, yeah, like if it would probably go right over a sub 10-year-old's age.
I assure you, it would not.
Well.
Oh wow. Wait, no one else is going to make reference to the homophobic slur that was just thrown out there?
Which one? I didn't hear it.
No? Wait, did I mishear that?
He said he was a bonehead. Huh. Okay, I don't know. I have the subtitles on, so that's what he said. You totally boned that dude in the head or something. He's a total bonehead.
I'm gonna look at this up to make sure I didn't mishear something.
I have the subtitles on, so whatever you find on the internet is what other people misheard, too.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Recite them. Right, let's see what lyrics Ted actually cites.
Okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure I heard it correctly.
Well, then they cleaned it up for the subtitles if you heard some sort of slur.
Well, you can guess what it is. They hug each other, and then they immediately step back and look at each other.
Oh,
and...
you were... Yeah, no, now I know what you're saying. Yeah. The British word for cigarette.
That's how it showed up in subtitles. Cigarette. In a British accent.
I really don't know what the hell's going on right now.
How can you not know what's going on?
I am the Earl of Preston. I am the Duke of Ted. Couldn't he have at least said I'm the Duke of Logan or something? Ted?
I think Ted's slightly the more stupid one.
Well, yes, it's more stupid, so okay, that's why he said it.
I think this movie sets expectations on how it is to find a mate way too low.
That's how it was back then.
Hey, they have to still go through a whole bunch more time travel and come back and get them. That shows true love.
You'd think Hold Billy on. The Kid with his guns could single-handedly, like, take everyone out.
How many bullets does he have, though?
Fair.
That makes what happens all the more shocking!
What I'm saying, like, why did he, like, abandon the phone booth?
Do you not remember what's about to happen?
No, I do, but, like, okay. they have the phone booth. Like, why wouldn't he have just, like...
abandon them?
Because he doesn't want to kill people?
Like, how could he have known that he would have had to have snuck in?
I know, yeah. How did they know to, like, get these outfits and these axes?
Don't ask this movie to make sense. Please do not ask this movie to make sense.
It's because Billy the Kid used the phone booth, went 30 minutes into the future, saw them get executed, went back in time to steal the cop. See, there you go. You want time loops.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
I wonder who the dude in 2688 is that's defining the exact minute and exact location that the phone booth goes to as well. Right? Because you just dial a phone number and it apparently takes you to a specific time and place.
Oh, I assume that was part of what you dialed in.
Except for your home. Well, no, but they were looking through the phone book.
Yeah, no, I assume there's a certain code and it took you to the exact time and place.
That's the space-time coordinates.
Assuming that all the phone numbers are a same length, there's a finite number of phone numbers to dial, right?
There's a finite number of time and space.
Well, okay.
Oh, is there? Or is it infinite? There's an infinity symbol on the dial pad.
Is there?
Yeah. They showed it earlier. If you look, instead of the pound sign, there's an infinity sign.
Well, that's clever.
Yeah. Right. If you look...
I want to get a chance, I'll have a look for it, yeah.
The part where we're at, we might be able to see it.
Party on, dude.
So we have the king and his two aides. I don't know what's going on here at all.
trying to add more logic to it. Shouldn't that dude have been drawn in with them just like Napoleon was? He clearly swung his mace through, like, the backwash or whatever that caught Napoleon.
Yeah, but he was on a horse.
Napoleon caught it because he was falling into it because he got blown up by something. So, I mean, I agree with you, but I'm trying to point out a difference. So, what are they sitting on? They're sitting on nothing. That's pretty cool.
I think the answer is Napoleon is famous, the other dude's not. And that's what the phone booth cares about. It's sentient.
So here's a question. This is the song that they write, correct? Or no? Is that not implied? It must not be, because otherwise
they
would have
the song.
That
they, it's not the song. Because the song they write is God Gave Rock and Roll to You by Kiss. That's what they write at the end of Bogus Journey. But I think, well, I don't even know if that's true. I think that's what Face the Music is all about.
Yeah, it's about them finding
them writing this song and having to go through and steal it from themselves. So I started playing this song for Faith because it's on Amazon, and she never figured out what it was from till I told her. It's like, all
I would have recognized it in a heartbeat.
I would never have figured it out either. So
I might have taken until right now. In time, never be so blessed. or whatever. They're not subtitling this, but...
It's because it's got homophobic slurs in it.
It was the 80s.
You have no idea what they're saying right now.
Now, do you, when you write a line of dialogue like that, do you have any concept that it'll become, it'll still be quoted?
No.
You probably 30 think, years later?
Like, you probably think that it'll become as iconic as, like, non-triumphant and yeah, most heinous. Like, it's, you hope, but.
I think there are times when you are doing a project and you can feel that it's special, and I have certainly had writings where I've come up with things that I thought were clever turns of phrase, but, you know, no one quotes my stuff, right? So that's not something that ever matters. I'm sure, though, that they feel, oh, that was a clever turn of phrase. And some of them are, you know, the ones that they thought, but a lot of them are going to be just spontaneous because it's the actor's delivery or it's something in the culture that they didn't expect.
I was going to say, it's also like, it's fairly random that this movie became what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it could be like if the music hits you right, like even the director might not know until like you add the music and everything, and you're like, oh, this is kind of a climactic scene or something.
Ziggy, is this Ted's sister now?
No, it's just his brother and his friends. Zig.
Why did I should never ask the question why when it comes to this movie.
Oh, layer change.
This all makes sense. Oh, yeah. Did it, a pause.
Glitched for you. Yeah. Good old layer changes.
So they paid Ted or whoever gave his brother a bunch of money and said, like, just keep him occupied. And so he decided, all right, well, I'm going to go out with my friends, and I guess I have to take Napoleon along, and we're going to get this giant tub of ice cream.
And Napoleon proceeds to eat.
Yeah. Like, and Napoleon apparently is an asshole.
Because he's apparently probably never had ice cream before. I don't know when ice cream was invented. So
you've seen Wonder Woman, right?
The first one?
Yeah. She was excited about ice cream, too.
Gal Gadot? Or different Wonder Woman?
No, Gal Gadot.
Okay. I've not seen that one.
Yeah. You should. It's worth seeing.
It's hard for me to see movies these days. I mean, unless I'm sitting down with you guys or something, not normal course of activity.
I don't see anything in the theaters anymore.
It's not in theaters anymore. You can see it at home.
Well, yeah, no, that's how I saw Wonder Woman. It was on DVD from the library, I'm pretty sure. But I think, aren't they still trying to release 1984 in theaters?
They said they're going to release it in theaters still, yeah. Sometime, Bill and Ted, I don't know when. I
mean, Face the Music is supposedly coming to theaters on Friday as well, I think.
Yep, there are theaters that are open.
All right, now I think we start getting the quick hits, I think.
Yeah.
Of like, all right, that's enough budget spent in historical settings, let's just start grabbing random people.
And this is where it starts to get unbelievable that all these people can fit in the phone booth.
So I think we've left spoilers in the dust at this point. I'm shocked that Ted wears a watch you have to wind. Considering this is the age of swatches, you'd think he'd just have a swatch.
Eine kleine Nachtmusik.
You know, considering how they pronounce Socrates and Sigmund Freud.
Freud.
And Beethoven.
They should say, like, Mozart. Or no, Beethoven, okay.
I think they say Beethoven or something. I'm surprised they get Genghis Khan's name right. Don't they?
How else would you pronounce it, though?
I don't know.
They probably get the con right, because
Genghis,
maybe they've seen...
Can or something?
No, maybe they've seen Star Trek?
Hmm.
I don't know if that...
Star Trek 2, maybe.
I can't tell if they think that would be lame or not.
Probably too smart for them.
But I can also see it being like too ubiquitous that they would have heard the con at some point in their life.
Who's this actress?
Mila Jovovich.
Almost plausible.
I don't think it's someone who's famous.
Yeah, I don't think anybody in this movie is famous.
I need to find out who this is.
And I made the joke because Mila played her in the actual Joan of Arc movie, right?
Oh, I don't know.
That's why I made the joke. Noah's wife. So what's weird is if when I when I searched on Amazon for Excellent Adventure, you don't get the soundtrack. You get like a band called Excellent Adventures and like a bunch of other random crap. I searched for Bill and Ted, and I got Excellent Adventure soundtrack and Bogus Journey soundtrack. And I forgot how many good songs are in this movie.
So is it offensive that he tempts him with a Twinkie?
Why would that be offensive? Am I reading to
it? I don't know. It's yellow. And
you're just Twinkie stretching. Like a... You're looking for reasons to get offended.
No. Twinkie is a term for like...
Twinkie is for... it's like an Oreo, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying Genghis Khan would qualify.
That might not have helped Andrew if he doesn't know what either of those mean, but...
It's yellow on the outside, white on the inside. That's all you gotta know.
See, and there's your answer, Paul. That's how everybody gets in the phone booth. Yeah. You just don't bother closing the door.
Whose idea was it? Like, I'm sure I'll be fine.
I mean, Napoleon survived not even being in the phone booth.
Are we sure that they know he survived? Wasn't he still unconscious when they left him there?
Yeah, he was still unconscious.
He could have been dead.
Oh.
So what's wrong?
This is a little awkward.
Uh-oh. Did you date Joan of Arc, the actress, at one point?
No, but I was... I bowled for quite a while when I was younger, and my nickname while bowling was Napoleon.
Yeah. Yep. This is something that like people probably look at now and just be like, what the hell?
Yeah. And
keeping track of your score on an overhead projector?
That ball does not look round.
It's funny because how would he even know how to cheat?
Well, like, obviously adding a one in front of it is worth it.
I mean, yeah, he still knew numbers. Well, did he put it in front of his score, though, or the kid's score?
Theoretically, his score, but...
I didn't pay attention to whose score he put it in front of. Because he's about to go bowl. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, there's your French swear words.
Oh, wow, it's actually Fairlanes! Did you see that, Andrew?
No,
it's actually Fairlanes!
That's pretty awesome.
That's the bowling alley in Tail City, Paul, just for your edification.
My first job.
More smoking also.
Yeah, that was bowling alleys in the 80s.
Yeah.
Joan of Arc is still doing a lot of stuff with movies and television, but she's moved on to writing, apparently.
How her name's just Joan of Arc. Not what her actress played.
I was a little concerned.
The actress's name is Jane Wedlin.
I was a little concerned when you're like, she's still doing a lot of stuff with like movies. I'm like, oh, please don't say porn. Please don't say porn.
That would be bad. Fortunately, no.
So I'm curious to recall how Napoleon ever finds his way home.
I think I remember.
He probably gets picked up by the cops.
Apparently she's credited with a writing credit for an episode of WKRP in 1981. How old was she when she got that writing credit?
I don't know.
How much gum did they need to fix that?
she does not look this old. According to this, she was born in 1958, which would mean that she was...
They all take the gum out of their mouth and put it on the ball, and Ted's the only one that spits it out from his mouth.
Save the humans? That's the... It's like the bumper sticker on Ted's...
shorts. Pants.
So, I did not pay attention...
One of them was chewing gum.
Yeah, well, I saw that, but I did not pay attention when at the Circle K to pay attention if they actually had the busted up antenna.
That's the kind of continuity you expect them to pay attention to. What do we say? They cut right to 69.
Yeah. That's pretty... That was like half an hour ago for us, but
the princesses.
That is kind of a clever thing. So when he says he's bringing his message of love from himself, he literally is.
Yeah. Such an out of place sound effect when he taps Bill's head. Yeah, that's going to work. It worked last time.
Yeah, I know. Well. It made more sense this time. You see, how does it... I wonder how it determines where it lands. I remember when having headphones like that seemed so futuristic. The ones with the built-in radio.
B7?
Maxine of Arc Herman... What?
Bob King's Khan.
And Abraham Lincoln. Just don't even bother.
I think he said don't even bother when he got to Bob Genghis Khan.
I'm wondering, like, not to denigrate Missy, but I don't know if she was probably the greatest history student either.
Yeah, I'm wondering if she thinks this is weird or she's just like, yeah, whatever.
Wow.
Are you still looking up writing credits for Joan of Arc?
So I forget why Billy the Kid throws the food in the trash.
Well, of course the woman is doing the dishes. In the kitchen.
Well, yes, but to be fair, I mean, there was a guy doing laundry and a guy vacuuming and cleaning windows and everything, so she had to do something. Unless she was supposed to be the one sitting there holding a drink saying, good job, guys.
She could be killing the British or whatever she did in reality.
Hearing God.
Yeah.
I think they grossly, and obviously, it's a movie.
It wasn't 420.
I think they grossly underestimated how shocked people would be to come from, like, the 1400s.
Yeah, Genghis Khan was surprisingly subdued there. He was just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, specifically Genghis Khan.
Twinkies.
I was thinking,
just... give me a Twinkie, give me another Twinkie, and we're good to go.
Yeah. Or Billy the Kid is like, Bill even tells him, like, you're catching on awful nice or quick. Like, wait a minute, I saw Buffy on the list.
Yeah, Buffy Summers, I don't know.
Like, that would be so funny if that was Buffy Summers.
It did look like a Buffy S. I'm not sure.
Because when was the original Buffy movie?
Oh, gosh, I don't
Probably
know.
Probably early 90s, actually.
Yeah, it's going to be a couple of years Probably. After this one.
Didn't they just leave all the people alone at the mall?
Yeah, but there's responsible adults there.
So I did not pick up on it nearly as much when I saw this.
Napoleon's Waterloo. Oh my god.
25 years ago, the last time maybe, I don't know. 25, 30 years? No, 20 years ago maybe? Sometime. I did not pick up on how much, that they are using sugar to lure and try to keep them contained. Like, that's the whole point of the Twinkie, is it's sugar. And Napoleon eats of ice cream, and they just gave them all slushies. Like, it's because it's such a modern thing to have access to sugar like that. So.
Yes, he just wandered onto the water park.
Yeah, I was...
I'm wondering where he got his bathing suit, though.
Where did he get the bathing suit? Where did he spend the night?
On the
streets. I guess he can read English, so he was attracted to Waterloo.
No, he wouldn't because that makes no sense. Yeah. But
he hasn't been defeated at Waterloo either.
Yeah, and he wouldn't want to be attracted to Waterloo if he had.
But like, so in either way, it doesn't make sense. Either he doesn't care about it.
He probably just
it.
Saw a water park and was like, that looks like fun.
I guess. And then that's the worst lifeguard ever. Push your face first down the water slide.
In their defense, I'm not sure he's supposed to be a lifeguard as much as a keep the line moving person.
So, we have not taken our kids to a water park at all.
Probably won't be for a while either.
Partially just because my last recollections of water slides like this are terrifying.
Yeah. Well, I can...
I was never a fan of water slides.
Yeah. Well, I took my kids to King's Dominion once, and one of my eldest daughter was trying to be brave and going on a tough water... She said she would give a particularly scary-looking water slide a try. We waited in line and got to the top, and she chickened out. We had to take the walk of shame back down as she cried.
Oh.
So, it is a concern.
That's why it was nice to go to the only amusement park we've been to is Hershey Park, and that was for an employee appreciation day. So there were no lines or anything to wait, so we didn't have to go through that of waiting through a line just to get
to
the park. Like,
placement
nah, I'm not
here?
Gonna do that.
It's a little inappropriate for him to be like grabbing a child and picking her up as he goes up the line.
It was the '80s.
Okay, what product placement are you pointing at, Andrew? New Jade Chinese food? New Nautilus. I'm looking for a real brand I recognize, but I don't think I will.
Nautilus is a brand.
Okay. I probably even said it out loud, and I didn't recognize what I was saying.
Yeah.
I'm not sure this would have been happening in the middle of a mall. I know lots of things happened in the middle of malls in the 80s.
The malls were the center of society in the 80s.
I guess this is pre-deafness.
Oh, for Beethoven.
Because he
doesn't necessarily have to hear it, because he wouldn't speak English either, right?
Yeah, but he clearly like hears the piano making some music right now.
Well, but it wasn't the whole shtick that he like can feel vibrations and stuff.
Again, the whole relationship between the sexes is a little off here.
Hot dog on a bat. Zucchini on a bat. Cheese on a bat.
It sounds like Andrew had a little bit more difficulty picking up chicks than Billy the Kid and Socrates did. And he's jealous about it.
That's more like it.
I probably
yeah. See, Andrew is Sigmund Freud, and he scares all the women away.
Yeah,
and they called me
that
a geek.
That actually fits really well.
And look, his hot dog's going down.
Yep.
I did not pick up on that when I watched this movie as an impressionable preteen.
I never picked up on how much like Sigmund Freud Andrew is. So I guess I should take back a little bit. The Genghis Khan is surprisingly calm. They gave him one too many Twinkies.
Wow, this is...
I mean, in his defense, he probably sees the mannequin as a practice dummy.
Yeah.
For the baseball bat, which clearly what would you use it for other than murder?
So, did this kid not see... I guess maybe he's just in the back, he's not in the front, so he doesn't see people get dressed up. This is like one of the greatest... I don't know if you can call it a montage.
Now, how much of it is the music and how much is what's going on?
Oh, it's half the music.
I was going to say like 90% the music.
Well... Yeah, it's Genghis Khan is the other half.
What's on the... He's got a kick me sign on his back now? Who puts a kick me sign on him?
I think Billy the Kid and Socrates did.
Yeah.
For some reason, I kind of remember like that as a scene, but maybe... I mean, all things considered, did Beethoven really do anything that bad?
Yeah, he seems to be attracting customers to the store.
Yeah.
Wow, like, what mall is this? There's an ice rink in it?
I mean, it's obviously, and in California, too. I mean, it's not like it's Minnesota or something.
I assume a mall in Minnesota would have a beach inside. Is that supposed to be sunblock on Napoleon's nose?
Yeah.
Or
it's
ice
like
cream.
Mustard.
You want to know about my mother?
No.
Well, good, because that's how you get shot.
Is this a Freud thing?
Yeah, it's a Freud thing. And then I referenced Blade Runner, so there you go.
So I wonder if that's an actual historical thing that people used to misspell it, what, with a K, I guess?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Well, Bill and Ted aren't going to be in last place in the class.
He may have done better during the actual part of the class.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
This high school football rule.
Professor's like A+. Maybe not with that face.
They're like, why do we do these oral reports again?
Now that is a station wagon there.
I mean, usually it's done out of belligerence, but that's so not also an uncommon thing.
Ted's father, the sheriff? Because that's not a cop, that's an elected office, usually. I mean, he's an elected cop, but...
Does it matter?
It does, because politician versus cop is a big difference.
So you would like him more?
No, it's not about whether I like him or not. It's about what is Ted's upbringing like? They're trying to understand the background of these characters.
Well, he's at least in the sheriff's office, right? It doesn't mean he has to be the sheriff, right? Because he's dressed like a detective, honestly, more than any sort of officer.
This is where the movie started blowing my mind when I was younger. It's like magic, but it makes some sort of perverted sense.
Speaking of perverted.
That's right. And that references back to when he was looking for the keys.
Yeah. Oh, that is perverted.
Okay, so maybe his dad is the sheriff. If he's the one taking the keys to the prison cells home with him at night.
And in charge of all the deputies.
If you smoke around me, don't exhale.
Again, the 80s. Very 80s reference there.
Yeah.
How are we expected to believe that Ted, who couldn't remember to wind his damn watch after like an hour after being told by himself to do it, is going to remember to steal his dad's keys, hide them in a specific place, get his tape recorder, record a message saying, Dad, Dad, and do all the other things he's about to do?
Bill helps him out.
And
Bill was supposed to help him out remembering to wind his watch.
What kind of tape recorders did you guys have as kids? I don't remember having one that would have a timer on it that would let me...
You're really were in advanced time.
I mean, maybe like a timer that literally controls the outlet, not the tape recorder. We had that.
They use an Alexa device.
So that you could have your light turn on while you're on vacation and people would not know you were gone.
It's like Home Alone type technology.
Now, when did they type this? No, that's on the fax machine.
And like, what happened the first time when they didn't do these things?
The first time never happened. Paul, first time never happened. It's always been like this. Because if the first time hadn't happened, there wouldn't be a second time for them to go back and do it.
Time loops are awkward.
Well,
I love how Jones like, yes, praying worked.
Well, it did. Praying it always did. Works.
Yeah. This rock keeps tigers away. Dude, you stole them. I'm glad we timed that perfectly, how long it would take your dad to walk over to the tape recorder before we said that out loud.
And why doesn't he get in trouble for that?
So Missy's still driving like a maniac, and she's totally okay with this. I mean, granted, she's like a teenager herself. So
we just dropped the trash can.
How do you set up the trash can so it just randomly falls down?
Magic. That's what I just asked. How did it fall? Yeah, there's Missy.
He's already writing the F's for them? Come on.
That doesn't look like a Buffy to me. Wait, yeah, so show the grade sheet again. I want to see what Buffy's last name was. Buffy Machete? What? Is that what it said?
So it looked like. And now the greatest history presentation of all time.
So, if you go back to what they just did, they would never be late for this report. Well, presumably they went back in time and set up this whole stage and light show, too.
Yeah. They had Station helping them.
Station and Death and the princesses. And I don't know why these people are laughing.
I know, this is the most awesome
presentation ever. This is the best report ever.
And of course now there's school violence going on, so they have to listen or else they'll get shot.
And they just instinctively clap in unison too.
But seriously, can you imagine if this happened now? Bill and Ted bring a guy to their history presentation who shoots a gun off in the gymnasium. Oh, hey, Professor.
Long time no see. So, clearly no one in the audience believes that they actually went to these times, and these are the actual people. So I wonder what they... I guess they just think they're really awesome production values or something.
They finally get his name right.
Yeah, that's true. Who finally taught them the right name?
This is the minor edible complex. How does he know that?
Whoa. Seriously, I think they put the "whoa" in Matrix after they hired Keanu.
Maybe.
Again, kind of surprised Missy knows what an edible complex is.
Or Bill.
Yeah, both of them. They're made for each other.
That's true.
I'm not convinced Missy does now. It's a risk board.
Beethoven.
And they got Beethoven's name right. Why is everyone eating ice cream now?
I was just about to ask, because Ted was eating, like, pudding or something.
Sugar is the answer to everything in this movie.
Nope. How every game of diplomacy goes, right?
So here's a stupid question. Is San Dimas an actual place?
I assume not.
Hmm.
What does Dimas mean?
I don't know. Saint Demon or something?
Yeah, see, Abraham Lincoln feels like this was the one that they were like, oh, we got this. If Abraham Lincoln says, party on, dudes, that's what's going to live on forever. And, like, no one ever talks about this part. People talk about San Dimas high school football rules more than they talk about Abraham Lincoln.
Because apparently Abraham Lincoln isn't all that important.
It derives its name from the Spanish name for Saint Dismas.
There you go, Andrew. Saint Dismas.
Don't know much about him.
He's the penitent thief, also known as the good thief, the grateful thief, or the thief on the cross.
Oh. Right-hand side, the stage will be with me in paradise.
Yeah, he's one of the two unnamed thieves in Luke's account of the crucifixion of Jesus in the New Testament. The Gospel of Luke describes him asking Jesus to remember him when Jesus arrives at his kingdom. The other as the impenitent thief. Oh. Well, that's convenient. Yeah, especially with the way the crowd reacts, they probably expect that to be the money line.
Yeah.
How many teenagers in high school have a lighter in the 80s?
All of them. Apparently. We saw how many people were smoking.
Freebird! I guess they couldn't afford a tripod, I guess.
I mean, they have a pretty sweet setup, though.
Is this at Bill's house or Ted's house?
I don't know.
I guess, actually, it doesn't matter. They're both only children. No, Ted has a brother.
Yeah, Deacon.
So it would make more sense if this is Bill's house.
Well, Bill could have relatives, too. We just don't know about him.
Didn't Missy take him to school from here or something?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. This probably is Bill's house.
And Bill's got the more laid-back and tolerant father, right?
Well, or the dad that might have more guilt over divorcing his mother. Or whatever happened to the mother.
Killing her.
I assume Missy might have had something to do with the divorce. And identity theft.
it's convenient that, that both girls like the guys that that are, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Lined up right.
That, I mean, that happens all the time in the movies.
And in real life, according to Andrew.
Tens don't marry threes.
Damn, you're calling the damsels threes?
No, I'm saying... If you have... if, for example, Keanu's a 10, and
say,
Bill is
one
a
of
3,
yeah.
Then Keanu's going to get the 10 girl, yeah. And Bill's going to get the 3 girl. They're not going to swap. That's not how that works.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not calling the princesses 3s. It's like one of them is a one guy and one girl are 3, one guy, one girl are 10.
I feel like they're all roughly like 6s or 7s at least.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're unattractive, because they are all attractive people. Is a just
royal,
a generic
boys.
Statement. I wasn't trying to say anything specific about these pairings. I don't know. We know nothing about these women at all.
They like Bill and Ted. That's all we know.
Yeah, I mean, I am not in love with the portrayal of women in this movie.
And I think really how they matched them up is the light haired one with the light haired and the dark haired one with the dark haired.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, I know these are like future instrument, or well, I don't know, maybe these were existing guitars. How do you tune them?
Probably bends around the back,
the bottom.
I guess or maybe the tuners are at the other end. I guess there's nothing sacred about having the tuning knobs at that end. It's got to be especially impressive to the princesses, considering all they've seen up to this plate is lute playing, probably.
And a mall.
I'm not sure it helps to turn the treble and the bass and everything else up all the way.
Everything up to the
I
max.
Love the princess playing the keyboard.
Set everything to 11.
She's like scared of it or something.
The funny thing is the princesses are even worse.
They do get better.
They do get better. I don't know if that's supposed to be a Monty Python reference or probably too highbrow.
Yeah. And there's no post-credit scene, right?
The three most important people in the world, Martha Davis, V. Waybill, and Clarence Clemens. All right.
Probably the producers.
So you think Keanu got top billing just because R for Reeves comes before W for Winters? Because otherwise, Bill comes first in the name of the movie. Maybe that
oh,
was
there.
The
Buffy
deal.
Is Ann Machete.
Wait, sorry. Her actress's name?
The actress was named Ann Machete.
So they took her real last name and tacked it on her characters.
I guess.
For a character that doesn't even appear on screen, does she? She was in the credits, though?
I saw that there was a
what
Buffy.
Who was she?
It's probably someone in the class at the beginning when Ted
was
standing
at the top. Or it got cut, but she somehow maybe. Still snuck into the credits. And the name of the band that's playing the song right now, I believe, is Power Tool.
Normally, my phone will tell me, but it's not right now.
Oh, you're trying to Shazam it?
No, like, the Google Assistant usually will tell me if anything's playing that it hears.
I don't use the Google Assistant nearly as much as I probably should.
I have seen this movie now. No recollection of having seen
high
it
high praise.
No, wait, well, you said you remembered that you had seen
it. I think I saw it. I've definitely seen a Bill and Ted movie. And I thought I'd seen them both. But I honestly don't know. I mean, we could have seen the second one, which is the one I'm highly confident that I've seen and saw in the theaters, but I haven't seen it since then, so it's probably going to be the exact same reaction, right? It's like, yeah, that was a movie.
Like, what the hell's going on?
But I think I've mentioned it on a podcast before. Bogus Journey. I'm 90% certain I had memorized from beginning to end when I watched it at home all the time.
I think Bogus Journey has the... it is the movie where I most thought I loved it. Or no, I knew I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. And then I rewatched it. I'm like, oh God, this is awful.
I have not watched it for probably, whatever, 20 years or something. So
don't,
yeah.
Don't. Well, it does not age well.
Although, yeah, it is funny. But now, so we've played Clue Jr. a bunch of times. I got Clue the card game, which is actually a fairly good transposing of the real game onto a card game. It's actually, I prefer frankly, it to real Clue, actually.
Yeah, the board is really not that.
Yeah, so we pulled out the original version, and the first thing I was like, good God, why are all these squares on this board? We do not need to waste, and you get one six-sided die to move.
Yeah.
Okay, all this is relevant, Paul probably knows why, it's because they played death in the game of Clue.
Yeah.
So every, and I probably flip it every time I say it, but when so whenever we're playing Clue, I'm always like, wrong, dude, it was Professor Plum.
I think it is Professor Plum, yeah.
I said Plum. Because I think he accuses Colonel Mustard.
Yeah, that sounds about right, but...
Then they play Electric Football... And Twister, I think.
Twister sounds about right.
Either that or Twister was one of the ones like in the comic book that didn't make it on screen.
Oh, yeah. Now there's the lion again.
You have successfully blown my mind, gentlemen.
I know you don't. I know you tell me not to watch it, Paul, but gosh. 2 days until Face the Music comes out, I might try to watch Bogus Journey before then.
I'm going to try and watch Bogus Journey tomorrow. Yeah. And then Face the Music on Friday or sometime this weekend.
Yeah, our plan is watch it on Saturday. Wear the kids out. We actually found a beach that's, well, who knows how crowded it would be on Saturday. We actually went today. That's like 20 minutes away from us, and it's like, you know, Chesapeake Bay Beach. So pretty cool.
Well, that's the movie. So Andrew, you loved it apparently.
It was the greatest movie Andrew has ever seen.
As far as I can tell.
Like I said, the biggest issue I have is I think that the depiction of women in this movie was far from ideal.
I got a lot of problems with this movie, and you're going to hear all about them.
I'm not disagreeing necessarily, but I'm trying to think of like the depictions of women are the princesses and Joan of Arc and the girls serving Genghis Khan chicken wings.
And Missy and the girls in the food court.
Girls in the food court.
Well, the ones who are flirting with cell crates and Billy the Kid.
Yeah, I don't know. They're, to me, though that one particularly is just stereotypical vapid teenagers at a mall.
Mm, stereotypical might be the problematic word there, actually.
Well, yeah. And it was also more of a setup to make fun of Sigmund Freud than the girls. But
yeah, I mean, I didn't think the mall girls were a problem. They were like, look at these weirdos. We're going to make fun of them. And they were weirdos.
I think the problem is they were the type of girls that made fun of us at the mall. So that's
probably. Andrew's granted, just annoyed because they fell in love too quickly. That was the constant criticism I heard.
I mean, it's
this is not how romance works.
Broadly accurate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so and Paul, we played. We did play the print and play version of Love Letter. I'm tying this in because that has the princess in it.
It does.
But the print and play version renamed all the cards and changed all the pictures to be internet. So the spy is no longer the spy. He's now a catfisher.
Wait.
Yeah, no.
What?
Like the names of the cards. Like there's the spy in the real Love Letter, right? He is now a catfisher.
I was not aware of a spy, but maybe he's an expansion.
He's a zero. If you're the only one that has discarded him, you get a point at the end. I don't know. I've never played.
Sounds like an expansion.
Okay. But I'm like they all got numbers like 1-8. The Baroness is hashtag filter mode.
God, that's awful.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? Because the directions in the print and play all have the real names, but then the cards are all different and have different pictures on them.
Because like, sounds the... like you got like a messed up version or something.
No, it was the print and play.
I understand.
That they released at the version at the beginning of the pandemic when everybody... So they thought, I guess they thought it was cute to like tweak them all. Maybe it was to make people who had bought the game not feel so bad that you could literally get the game for free.
Because you get the game that makes more sense.
Yeah, like the level 3 card is now like Devil's Advocate and the picture is somebody tweeting out, which is better, waffles or pancakes? Debate or something, I don't know. Which isn't really a devil's advocate argument, but
yeah, that's not at all the example I would have used.
But anyway, Andrew's still rubbing his head over the depiction of women in Bill and Ted. I feel a Rampant Discourse article coming up.
No, Andrew hasn't written a Rampant Discourse article in years.
I asked him about the one that he wrote and had me edit and has yet to publish, I think.
Yeah, there's been a lot of news about the Washington football
team.
Yeah,
there's some stuff popped out today.
Oh, yeah. I said at dinner, you know what? I'm a Ravens fan. Like
I am certainly, you know, whatever interest I had in the Washington football team it's gone. I mean, what is left to root for? There's no good players. No history. There is no imagery. I mean, sure, the imagery was problematic, but it was our imagery. But it's gone now. And the owner has been awful for the entire time. It's just, he just keeps getting worse. So, yeah, what's left to root for?
Yeah. Hey, that now is kind of my point of the article I wrote last year about Fairweather fandom. Like, I have far more fun rooting for the Chiefs and the Ravens. Yes, they happen to be winning teams. And that's part of the fun of rooting for them. But, like, I'm not going to stick with this stupid team that hasn't won for 30 years.
I don't
years.
Mind losing. I would have been perfectly fine with losing.
Yeah.
This is not okay.
Yeah, but now especially, yes.
It's time to peace out.
We vote libertarian. We're fine with losing. Okay. With that, hopefully you all enjoyed this. Maybe we'll do it again sometime. Good night, gentlemen. Can't stop the discourse.